This is Crime Binge.
Welcome to Crime Binge,
the podcast,
where this week we are on episode 71, where we are covering the Pappin sisters.
And the Pappin sisters were Christine and Leia, and they were two French sisters who worked as live-in maids in France, obviously, in the 1920s and 30s, until they completely lost it and committed one of the most gruesome murders in French history. Ooh. And obviously, we're doing this as a French murder, mm-hmm. and we don't speak French. I took a year of it in, or maybe 2 years in high school, but that's about it.
I didn't take any French, personally.
So we preemptively apologize about our pronunciations throughout this, but we're going to try the best that we can.
For sure. We looked it up, but, you know, sometimes even then, things are hard.
Yeah, even English is hard for us.
Yeah, so please bear with us as we make our way through this episode. But before we get into the meat of it, what are you binging this week, Sarah?
So this week I am binging this drink right here.
Oh, okay. Fun.
Which is...
She just, by the way, unveiled it by taking a cozy off of it because she's been fucking hiding it from me.
Exactly.
I didn't notice that. That's hilarious.
So it is the Smirnoff Seltzer.
Okay.
And it's the, like, limited edition summertime red, white, and berry.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking trash.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I much prefer White Claws and Bud Light seltzers.
Yeah.
But I bought a case because I wanted to try it, and it's what I've been drinking to get rid of it. Yeah. So it is my binge. You don't necessarily have to like your binge.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But, so it's supposed to be cherry, citrus, and blue raspberry flavors, and it just tastes like shitty alcohol.
Yeah.
But I heard that a lot of people were taking the, like, the red, white, and blue rocket pops and melting it, like, in there. Oh. And I feel like that would help a lot.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You need something a little sweeter.
Exactly. Because, there's no sugar. It's less calories than White Claw, but there's also less alcohol content than White Claw. So what's the point?
Yeah, it's just, like, it's kind of lame then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is, I've been drinking them all week. So I can try and get rid of this 12-pack and buy something else.
That's good.
But I wanted to try it, and I did.
Yeah, look at you go, trying new things.
And that is my teeny tiny binge this week.
Very nice, very nice.
What is your binge, Morgan?
My binge this week is going to be a YouTuber, because, mm-hmm. you know. And his name is D'Angelo Wallace.
Okay.
And he mostly does, like, commentary videos on YouTube. He has, like, over 1 million followers, so he's not, like, not well-known or anything like that.
I've never heard of him, so he's obviously not famous.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You also probably just don't, you know, watch stupid YouTube drama videos like I do.
I watch stupid YouTube videos. We just have different tastes in stupid YouTube videos.
Basically. So he does, like, commentary videos on drama that's happening within the YouTube community, basically, but does it in, like, a very straightforward and factual way. Like, he shows his evidence, like, mm-hmm. here, insert video now, and, like, all of that stuff. And my personal favorite title, 'cause they're, like, hour-long videos usually, is The Exact Moment Shane Dawson's Career Ended, 12:37 p.m., 6:30, 2020. So he just does stuff like that, and it's very funny. But he, like, goes into why Shane Dawson is canceled and, like, how he manipulates his audience and things like that.
All things that you've secretly been thinking, but someone puts it into words.
Yeah, and, like, shows you all of the evidence back to back to back, you know, like, all of his creepy things he's said and done and things like that. So he does it with just, like, a bunch of people. He did one recently, and by recently, I mean 3 weeks ago, the Logan Paul brothers. Logan Paul brothers. Those are their two separate names.
Logan and Jake.
Yeah. Yes. They're the Paul brothers.
Yes.
Okay, wow. Jesus Christ. But yeah, like stuff like that. It's just very long format videos, and his sense of humor is very dry and funny to me, so I just like it. Nice. And he's also the cutest little bean alive. Like, this is him in his...
Of course, an ad.
Yeah. It is Halloween getup, and is he not the most wholesome looking boy you've ever seen?
He is.
Just like with his little hat. I love it.
That's awesome.
So yes, that is my binge this week.
Fun.
But enough about that. Should we just get into today's episode?
Let's travel to France.
All right. So we're going like to earlier France, you know, not modern day France.
No.
So the Papins were a family from Le Mans, France, and their parents were Clemence Duray and Gustave Papin. Clemence?
Mm-hmm.
Clemence and Gustave had a troubled relationship from the beginning. While the two were dating, people suspected that Clemence was cheating on Gustave with her boss.
Ooh.
Yes. Very scandalous. Clemence got pregnant, so the couple got married in October of 1901. Their first daughter, Amelia, was born shortly after in March of 1902. After Amelia was born, Gustave tried moving the family to another city after getting a new job there, as he suspected that Clemence was still cheating on him. She refused to move the family and said that she would rather kill herself than to leave Le Mans. Very dramatic.
Yeah, she was described as being, like, hysterical all the time and overly dramatic.
Same, though. I'm just kidding. I don't threaten to kill myself at the drop of a hat. After this, their marriage started its decline, and Gustave started drinking heavily.
Christine was born on March 8th, 1905, and Leo was born 6 years later on September 15th, 1911. Clemence was not maternal in the slightest, and she wasn't really interested in having children, so after they were born, Christine and Leia were handed off to different relatives to live for a while. Christine went to live with Gustave's sister Isabel for 7 years, who was a good caretaker, but she taught Christine that men were the embodiment of evil.
I mean, never mind. I'm just kidding.
And Leia went to live with an uncle. They were basically just passed off.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, if your mom is going to show you no affection whatsoever, it's hard to say if it's a bad thing, you know?
Exactly. When they were back at home, they were subjected to their parents' arguments as well as physical and sexual abuse at the hands of their father. In 1912, when the eldest daughter, Amelia, was around 10 years old, she was raped by Gustave. He never believed that Amelia was his biological daughter since Clemence was having an affair, but obviously still that's no excuse.
Yeah. That's like also a big maybe, my dude, like,
right?
That you're playing with. What the fuck?
Yeah. Clemence became angry at this, but not for the right reasons.
Yeah.
She thought that Amelia seduced her father, so she decided to send the girl to the Bon Pasteur Catholic Orphanage.
We've said it before, but, like, believe your children, you know?
Exactly. Don't believe your shitty husband that you don't even want to be with.
Yeah.
Christine and Leia were also placed in this orphanage shortly after, when Clemence became aware of the attention that Gustave would pay to the girls, and she became jealous of them. This orphanage had a reputation for treating children very poorly and being very strict. And after this, Clemence and Gustave finally got a divorce. And while the girls were all living together in this orphanage, they became very, very close to each other.
But Clemence had a plan for the girls. She wanted them to stay in the orphanage so she did not have to take care of them, and she did this until they were around 15 years old and could start working. She then wanted to take them out of the orphanage and place them into homes as maids and make the girls send her the money that they made so she wouldn't have to work anymore. This didn't work for Amelia, as she decided to enter a convent in 1918 and become a nun. When she did this, she cut off contact with her family and ended up living the rest of her life as a nun. When Christine saw Amelia doing this, she decided that she also wanted to be a nun because, like, that's probably the only way you're not going to have to send your parents money, it seems. And since this would go against Clemence's plan, she forbade Christine from doing this and took her out of the orphanage and found a job for her. Shortly after, Leia was taken out of the orphanage as well in order to work as she wasn't happy with the pay that she was getting from Christine. The girls worked as maids in many houses in Le Mans. They preferred working together whenever they could, as they had a very strong bond together, and were described as inseparable, which is very understandable because they were tossed around and abused and treated really poorly while growing up, and they only had each other to comfort themselves, so you would grow close.
Exactly.
As a worker, Christine was described as hardworking and a good cook, but she could be insubordinate at times. There were some jobs that she would refuse to do because she thought they were beneath her. Leia was obedient, but shy and much more quiet than Christine. She was also considered less intelligent than her sister. People would think it was kind of weird because the girls spent so much time together, but never really talked to other people all that much. And some people thought that they may just have like some sort of telepathic abilities, which I feel like twins.
Yeah.
Already kind of have that. So if you're like forced to be really, really, really close siblings, that you probably have that in some capacity as well, you know?
Definitely.
And this connection made them almost seem like cold and distant to other people. So other people were like, nah, fam.
Yeah.
You stress me out.
In 1926, the sisters found basically the dream job, and it was a permanent live-in maid job, and they worked together for the Lancelin family in Le Mans. The house that they worked in was described as being a mansion. The Lancelins were a wealthy family of four. René Lancelin was the father, and he was a retired lawyer. The mother was Léonée, and the couple had two daughters. They had an older daughter who was married and didn't live at the house anymore. But the younger daughter's name was Genevieve, and she was described as a young adult, like in her early 20s, and she still lived at the house with her parents. And it was actually a surprise that the girls got this job, as Christine got a poor recommendation from her previous employer, saying that she was arrogant and refused to do certain household duties.
Yeah.
So Christine actually worked at this job for the Lancelins for a couple months on her own, and when she did a really good job, she convinced the family to bring on Leia as well. The girls did a good job at their duties, and the Lancelin neighbors were envious of having maids who did such good work. In this house, Christine and Leia shared a room on the top floor that some say it was the attic, but the house is kind of set up weird. But the room had heat and a balcony, which was very luxurious for a maid to have at this time. And so just kind of a quick house setup, the way that they, I don't know if they still do it in France this way, but the way they did it in France back then, when you walk into the house, it was called the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
You went upstairs and that was the first floor, and then upstairs again was the second floor. So we will talk about them being on the first floor, but technically to us in America, it's what we would refer to as the second floor.
Yeah.
The sisters were expected to work 6 full days a week, and they had a half day off on Sunday.
Nice.
And their full days would be 14 hours long. And again, this work schedule was common for like live-in maids at the time.
Yeah, I think this was kind of common until we got workers' rights, like in the 20s and 30s, you know?
Exactly. On their days off, other women who were maids at this time would spend their time making friends, going into town, flirting with boys, and going to dances. But Christine and Leia didn't do this. They didn't have any friends or any sort of social life apart from each other. So instead, On their days off, they would go to church, and every once in a while they would see this psychic fortune teller lady. On one of these trips to the fortune teller, she told the sisters that they were so close because in a past life, they were husband and wife. There were also other accounts that the girls would partake in incestual relations with each other, and one time were caught making love by Leone.
Mm-hmm. That's all speculation, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The mother, Leone, would be the one to give the cleaning orders around the house, and even though she was nice to the girls, she was still considered very strict. She was the kind of person who would check the cleaning afterwards to see if you did a good enough job. Probably like in the movie, puts the white glove on, you know?
Yep, that's exactly what she did.
She would rarely talk to the girls. She would just leave notes of all the chores that needed to be done. And the girls also never spoke to Renee the entire time that they worked there. They were just not going to speak to the husband. However, Leone eventually found out that the girls were sending the majority of the money that they made to their mother. She did not like this and believed that the girls should be able to keep their wages, which is actually really nice.
It is.
And she told the girls that they were no longer going to send their money to their mother and went so far as to write a letter to their mother to tell her not to expect any more money from her children, which, like... That's really nice. You have someone to stand up for you, you know? No one has ever done that before.
Because when you're an adult, you shouldn't have to send all your money to your mother.
Yeah. So after this, the girls started thinking of Leone as a mother figure to them and would often refer to her as Mama. And they started referring to their actual mother as that woman.
Same, though.
After the girls had been working there for a while, Leone started to fall into a depression. Christine and Leia would become the target to her mental illness. She would harshly critique their work and would sometimes even get physical. There is one accusation that she slammed the girls' heads against the wall, which is not ideal at all. That's not how you handle things. There is another instance where Leone discovered that Leia had left a piece of paper on the floor when cleaning. So she pinched Leia so hard that she dropped to the floor, and after she continued pinching her, wait, what? And she continued pinching her the whole time she was picking up this piece of paper. After this, Leia reportedly told Christine that if Leone ever did that to her again, that she would defend herself.
So they were getting tired of being treated not great.
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, your employer shouldn't physically abuse you.
Exactly. So, on February 2nd, 1933, Rene Lancelin was supposed to meet his wife Leone and daughter Genevieve for dinner at a friend's house. Before dinner, Leone and Genevieve spent the day out shopping together while Christine and Leia stayed home at the mansion to clean. At this time, the sisters had been working for the Lancelins for 7 years, and Christine was 28 years old and Leia was 21. One of their chores was to iron some clothes, and the iron that they used was known to have problems. It frequently shorted out and had been to a repair shop twice before. And one of their errands for this day was actually picking up that iron from the repair shop. When the sisters then went to use it and plug it in, it shorted out, causing a fuse to blow, resulting in a power outage in the house. Since the sisters knew that the family was supposed to be out all day and night, they decided to put off getting the iron and the electricity fixed until the next morning. But Leone and Genevieve stopped at the house unexpectedly, just planning to drop off the things that they bought and freshen up before going to dinner. When they discovered that the power was out, Leone confronted the sisters on the first floor landing, so the second floor. Christine tried to explain to Leone about the faulty iron, but instead of being understanding, which, like, it's the iron's fault, Leone flew into a violent rage, screaming at the girls and slapping Christine. Christine, had had enough of the abuse from Leyene and started attacking her back.
Christine grabbed a hard pewter jug and hit Leyene over the head with it. Her daughter, Genevieve, joined in on the fight to defend her mother. Allegedly, at this point, Christine yelled, "I'm going to massacre them." She started to attack Genevieve and gouged her eyes out using her own hands. At this point, Leia looked to her sister for guidance on what to do, and Christine told her to attack Leyene, saying, "Smash her head into the ground and tear her eyes out." Leia did as she was told by her sister.
Imagine gouging someone's eyes out with your hands,
yeah,
while they're alive. Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's gotta be difficult to do that, just, mm-hmm, like, even technically.
I mean, not really. You just have to push, like, pretty decently. They teach you to basically scoop someone's eyeballs out if they're attacking you. Like, when you're in self-defense, mm-hmm, when they tell you to dig into someone's eyes, the like, goal is to fuck up their eye bad enough that they can't follow after you, basically.
That's, like, the freakiest thing.
Yeah, no, it's fucking disgusting. I hate this story because there's just fucking eyes everywhere. Yeah. Like, I hate it. It's the worst. Eyes really do freak me out.
I mean, that's why it's the most gruesome attack in French history, I guess.
Leyene, back to the story, I guess. But... Oh, no. So Leia had just done as she was told by her sister. And Leyene and Genevieve were still alive, but their eyes were gone, so they were rendered defenseless. They sat on their knees, clutching their faces and screaming out in pain. Christine decided to escalate the attack and ran to the kitchen, where she retrieved a hammer and a knife. The girls used these weapons, along with a large pewter jug, to smash in the women's faces and stab them repeatedly until they were dead. During the attack, they switched weapons with each other multiple times. They took it upon themselves to further mutilate the bodies, cutting up their chest and raising up their skirts to cut their thighs and buttocks. They even mutilated the women's genitals. In the final gruesome act, they took Genevieve's menstrual blood and smeared it all over Leyene. It was described as they did this like they were basting a rabbit to be cooked. And all in all, the attack lasted 2 hours. Can you imagine? Like, that's so long and they were in so much pain, I'm sure. Like,
ugh. Exactly. And like, eventually you find out that they are saying it's self-defense, and it's like,
yeah,
at what point in the 2 hours
does it stop being self-defense?
Exactly. Like, yeah. are you trying to defend yourself still? Like,
yeah,
they can't do anything to you.
Yeah, I think the like mutilation and stuff like that is a heavy indicator that it's not just self-defense. Mm-hmm. There was some rage behind that attack, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
Afterwards, Christine and Leia cleaned themselves up, locked all of the doors in the house, stripped out of their clothes, lit a candle in their room, locked their door, and curled up in bed with each other, waiting for whatever was to happen next.
Renee, not knowing anything, made his way to the dinner that he was supposed to meet his wife and daughter at, but they never showed, and he started to get worried. He went into town where they were supposed to be shopping, but couldn't find them, so he decided to try their house. He got there at around 6:30 p.m. and discovered that the house was pitch black. The only light that he could see was a candlelight in the maid's room. And he found that all of the doors were locked and he couldn't get inside as they were bolted shut from the inside. At this point, he's starting to get really worried as, you know, normally there's lights on and at least one door is unlocked. So he decides that he needs help. So he went to the police station and he kind of thought that there was like a prowler inside the house.
Yeah.
So the police join him and go back to the house, and they were able to climb an outside wall to get into the backyard and broke into the house through a window in the parlor. Not knowing what they were getting into, The police started kind of like sneaking around the house, searching with flashlights, and they made their way to the stairs. When they started climbing up the stairs, one officer noticed something on the stairs that shone in the light from his flashlight. He originally thought that it was a marble. When he got close enough to see what it was, he realized that there was just a goddamn eyeball sitting on the stairs.
Yeah.
When the police officers made it to the top of the stairs, they found Leone and Genevieve's bodies laying on the landing. Their bodies were bludgeoned and stabbed to the point of being unrecognizable. So, Leone's eyes were found in the folds of her skirt, or her scarf that was wrapped around her neck. The eye that was on the stairs belonged to Genevieve, and her other eyeball was found underneath her body. One account also said that the woman's fingernails had been pulled out, and there were teeth and bone lying all over the floor. And later on, like, the magazines and people described the scene as an orgy of blood. The police also ended up compromising the crime scene because the women's skirts had been lifted up and their underwear pulled down, exposing them. And so the officers, you know, pulled up their underwear, put down their skirts to cover them up because, you know, people are definitely modest back then.
Yeah.
But when the crime scene photographer came, he photographed them covered up and not as what the true crime scene was.
Yeah. They wanted to keep the modesty even, mm-hmm. like, in death. Not knowing who could have done such a thing and that it may have been an intruder, the police thought that Christine and Leia may have suffered the same fate. So they made their way to the sisters' bedroom, finding their door locked. They knocked on the door, and when there was no answer, the police called a locksmith and had to wait around for the locksmith to show up in order to get the door open. While they were waiting, they observed that the room behind the locked door was dead silent. When the police entered the bedroom, they found Christine and Leia laying in bed together. Some accounts say they were naked, and some say that they were only wearing robes. The hammer, which was caked in blood, hair, and brain matter, was sitting on a chair inside of their room. The police immediately came to the conclusion that it was the maids who murdered the women, so they started questioning the sisters, who immediately confessed. When they were asked why they did it, the sisters explained that it was in self-defense because Leone and Genevieve started attacking them for the ironing not being done. Christine said, "It was her or us," and Leia said, "From now on, I am deaf and dumb." It was said that the sisters did not show any kind of remorse, and the sisters were taken to jail in only their bathrobes, despite the cold, rainy February night. They were placed in jail, and they were separated from one another. When they were being questioned by the police, their stories were exactly the same as if they had been rehearsed, so the police knew that they weren't getting the full story.
The sisters ended up becoming, like, very distressed from not being able to see each other. At one point, the prison officials allowed them to see each other. They gave in to all the begging and fits that they were having. And when they finally saw each other, Christine threw herself at Leia, unbuttoning her blouse and saying, "Please say yes." Like, she begged over and over again, "Please say yes," which they said suggested a sexual relationship between the two, but no one ever really fully explained what she was supposed to be saying yes to.
Right.
In July of 1933, Christine had an episode where she started, like, freaking out, and she attempted to gouge out her own eyes, and she had to be put into a straitjacket after this. She then explained to the magistrate that she experienced an episode just like that one on the day of her murders, which is, like, why she committed them. So the court appointed three doctors to perform psychological evaluations on the sisters to see if they were fit to stand trial. The doctors concluded that they had no pathological disorders and that they were fit to stand trial. They said that Christine was of average intelligence and Leia was of low intelligence. They also believed that Christine's affection for Leia was not of a sexual nature, but of a strong bond between the sisters. And many, like, outside people thought that the crime had to do with class warfare and was a rebellion against the upper class. They thought that the sisters' actions were a backlash from the way that they were treated by the Lancelins, and many people even felt sorry for the sisters, and some idolized them, feeling like they made an example of their elitist employers. And some of the wealthier citizens of Limon were actually scared and started to wonder if their servants would be the next to uprise and kill their employers.
Yeah. The bourgeoisie.
Right.
The sisters pled not guilty by reason of insanity at the trial that started in September of 1933. This had become such a famous case that the courtroom was packed with the press and onlookers. Police had to be called in to control the crowds outside of the courthouse as well. During the trial, the defense brought up a history of mental illness in their family. Their uncle had committed suicide, their grandfather was known to have fits of rage and violence, and their cousin was currently living in an asylum. Both sisters also said that they were the ones responsible for the murders on their own. They also both denied having a sexual relationship with each other. But some people speculate that they took out the eyes because Leine caught them having sex with each other, and it was like a metaphor.
Yeah, it was supposed to symbolize something.
Yeah. The psychological community eventually found a diagnosis for the sisters and believed that they suffered from shared paranoid disorder. This occurs when pairs or groups of people are isolated from the world and develop a shared paranoia and one partner dominates the other. This was especially true of Leia, who is shy and obedient to Christine. They also said that Leia's personality was basically just an extension of Christine's. Psychological experts later argued that the sisters suffered from folie à deux, or I wasn't trying to be offensive. I feel like that's the only way I can pronounce that when I read them for some reason. folie à deux, or madness of two. This is a condition of shared psychosis that includes hearing voices, a sense of persecution, violent outbursts against imaginary threats, and inappropriate expressions of sexuality. People with this will typically focus on a mother-like figure as their persecutor.
Which is pretty spot on, I think, yeah, to the sisters.
I think so. I think they were definitely suffering for some type of mental illness to just, like, killed those people to that extent.
Yeah, and there's a lot of examples of the folie à deux.
Mm-hmm.
Like the twins, that the silent twins, I can't remember their names, but like it runs in a lot of twins.
Yeah, and while these aren't twins, they were like
as close.
Yeah, probably just the only other person you have in this orphanage, so you're gonna cling desperately to them.
Exactly.
After the trial, the jurors took 40 minutes
yep.
to come back with a guilty plea for both sisters. They determined that Christine was the ringleader and she was to be put to death by guillotine. Christine fell to her knees crying when she heard the news. They also believed that Leia was under the influence of her sister, so she was given a lesser sentence of 10 years of hard labor. During this time, Leine and Genevieve had their funeral. They were buried together, with Leine's body being carried in a black carriage by a black horse, and Genevieve was carried in a white carriage by a white horse because she was still a pure little lady.
Mm-hmm.
The streets were lined with thousands of people to pay their respects.
So, Christine was supposed to be put to death by the guillotine on September 30th, 1933, in the public square of Le Mans for all to see. And this is going to be a big deal, as a woman had not been put to death by guillotine since 1887. So that's like 50 years plus.
Yeah.
However, the French president at the time issued a stay of execution, and Christine's sentence was retried, where it was reduced to life in prison. As they served their jail sentences, the sisters were kept separated, and some places say that they were even in separate prisons. But this separation proved to be just too much for Christine. Her condition started to deteriorate, and she would experience fits of rage and madness, and she started to refuse to eat. The prison officials transferred her to a mental health facility where they thought that she could benefit from professional help in order to get better. But this didn't work, as she was still separated from Leia, and she continued to starve herself. This eventually caused her to die, and the cause of her death was listed as cachexia, or wasting away from, like, not eating. She died on May 18th, 1937, at 32 years old. And she died before her sister was even released from jail.
Yeah.
Leia, on the other hand, did really well in jail without the influence of Christine. She was even released on good behavior in 1941 after serving only 8 years of her 10-year sentence. And she was 31 when she was released. So Leia went to live in the town of Nantes, with her mother. She changed her name to Marie, and she started working as a maid again, primarily as a hotel maid, mm-hmm. which is probably safer that she's not living in someone's home.
Yeah.
Some accounts say that Leia died in 1982, but a French film producer who was making a movie about the Papin sisters proved to have found Leia living in a hospice center in France in the year 2000. The woman he claimed was Leia had suffered a stroke which left her paralyzed and unable to speak, and this woman ended up dying the next year on July 24th, 2001. So a lot of people don't think it was her.
Yeah.
She would have been in her 90s. Who knows?
Yeah.
While the true motive of this gruesome crime may never be known, if it was classism or mental illness or self-defense or yeah. what, this case has remained infamous in France and is known as one of the most heinous crimes in French history.
Yeah, it's a pretty brutal one, for sure.
It is. It's, like, because when we cover the serial killers and they do a bunch of bad stuff, like, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this is worse because they do so much to just, like, at the one time, it's just one crime. It's not yeah. spread out, so it just seems so much worse.
Yeah, it's like, you can't compare the two, but it's the rage behind the one-off, you know, that you could just, a serial killer methodically goes and does this, mm-hmm. you know, and they do it more than once, but, like, you're doing it once, and it's that gruesome. It's, like, where did all of that rage come from,
you know? Exactly, because they never, like, I mean, they never tried to defend themselves before or,
yeah,
you know, got into fights or stuff like that, so it was just, like, that one outburst was the craziest fucking thing to ever happen.
Yeah. It's a super wild case, and the eyes are not good. I just leave people's eyes alone. It's unnecessary.
And their fingernails.
Yeah, that's also terrible.
And their menstrual blood.
Just leave people alone, actually. Yeah, honestly. Is the
don't touch me.
Real takeaway, just leave people alone. But, ugh, the eyes are not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all. We hope that you guys enjoyed this week's episode. It is a bit of a shorter one, but, you know, it was still a cool yeah. story. Please make sure you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
And also check us out on social media where we post pictures about each case. We are at Crime Binge or Crime Binge Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And we also have the website, which is crimebinge.com, where we post other stuff about the episodes. We post our sources. And you can also leave either a submission of one of your stories or a suggestion on a case you would like to hear.
Yeah. And keep on binging. Bye.
See ya.